Today is Sunday, September the 20th, 2020. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. You know, it's kind of amazing. In the first century, they had no Bibles. And, you know, the Old Testament scrolls were not readily available to anyone and everyone. The church epistles, as you know, were letters that were circulated. And, you know, in the first century, printing wouldn't be available, wouldn't be invented for 1,500 years. And, you know, compared to today, you know, we can buy Bibles the size and shape that we want. There are Bible apps that we can put on our devices. How blessed we really are to be able to, you know, at least in this part of the world, have such great access to God's Word. It's so accessible, and sadly, it's sometimes so neglected, and yet it is so very valuable to our lives. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning, just how valuable God's Word is to our lives. In chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." Why? Next verse, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." I want to spend a little time with these verses, because it says God's words are life unto those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. You could even translate that health medicine. They're life. God's words are life. Remember when Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone"? We do need physical food to live, right? And in order to live a blessed life, the life God would have for us, we need God's words. And God's words are health or medicine. The words of God are healing. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. So let's take a little closer look at the four things in verses 20 and 21. We really ought to note them, consider them, understand them. It says in verse 20, "My son, attend to my words." The word attend means to pay attention. Pay attention to God's words. Not, you know, simply a casual listening or casual reading. "Oh, that was nice. That was cool. I like that." Remember when Paul went to Philippi? Remember what it says about Lydia? It says, "Whose heart the Lord opened when she attended unto the things that Paul spoke." She attended. She paid attention to what he was speaking. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying." Incline thine ear. That's to actively listen to God's words. When it comes to the words of God, words that can provide life and health, we pay attention. We actively listen. You know, not in one ear and out the other ear. We pay attention. We actively listen. Paul said in Ephesians, "Whereby when you read, you may understand." And he told Timothy, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding." So we pay attention. We actively listen. You know, I was growing up, and my dad, sometimes he'd be telling us something, and he'd go, "Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening?" He'd say it like three or four times. "Yes, yes, Dad, I'm listening." So we pay attention. We actively listen. And then verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from your eyes." Now that has to be a figure of speech, because you can't stare at the Bible all day long, right? Whether you have your paper, you know, with pages, or your app, you can't walk around with the Bible in front of your eyes all day long. And, you know, when you're concentrating on your work or a project or something, you know, you can't be thinking of verses if you're doing brain surgery, right? So, I mean, this has to be a figure of speech. Let them not depart from your eyes. This word eyes is translated some places as physical eyes, you know, like what you can see with your eyes. But it's also used as regards to mental qualities and faculties. When it comes to God's words, we might call it spiritual perception, seeing things as God sees. In Job 42, Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. So did Job see God with his eyeballs? No. But now he had insight, godly perspective. Back up to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. God wants us to have a sweet, peaceful, restful sleep. He doesn't want us to go to sleep afraid. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence, and shall keep your foot from being taken. Look how valuable God's words are to us. Verse 21 again, it says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Really similar to what we saw in chapter 4, where it said, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In Psalm 119, it's in verse 18, it says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In other words, God, give me insight, give me understanding from your word. We get that from God's words. In Psalm 19:8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, and statutes meaning God's word, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, God's word, is pure, enlightening the eyes. Look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 2, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. Every way of a man's right in his own eyes, his own perception, his own putting things together, right? Is that a good thing for every man to be right in his own eyes? Well, what does God say about that? In chapter 12 of Proverbs, back up just a bit, look at Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise, God's counsel. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, look at this. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Our eyes, our spiritual perception, ought to be God's insight. And you're probably reminded of that prayer in Ephesians 1, so let's just take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 1. You may have thought of this while we were looking at these verses on eyes. In Ephesians chapter 1, this prayer, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So we read in Proverbs 4, attend to my words, pay attention, incline your ear unto my sayings. And then it said, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, that's my job, right? God's not going to do that for me. I have to hide God's word in my heart. I have to keep God's words, God's thoughts, God's perspective. I have to keep that in my heart. God says to keep his words in the midst of our heart instead of departing from that insight, that understanding of his words. Well, why and how do people depart from God's words? If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, some great insight here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, explicitly. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And that is the faith, the believing, the right way of believing. They're going to depart from the faith. How? Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They depart from the right way of believing, that wisdom, that godly insight from God's word, because they give heed. They pay attention. They give their attention to seducing spirits. The word seducing means to wander. Devil spirits that deceive and cause people to wander from believing rightly. They give heed. They pay attention to what seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are promoting. Now, this isn't fantasy. This isn't religious mumbo jumbo. The spiritual world is real. You know, Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Right? So if you sit and wonder why so many people today are so confused, or you're wondering how in the world can people buy into some of the things that are being peddled in our day and time, there's your answer from God's word. For those who don't think there's a spiritual battle going on, they need to read the book. As a matter of fact, did you know the very first use of that word for eyes? Remember when we read in Proverbs, let them not depart from your eyes? The very first place it's used is in Genesis 3. If you would flip there, that's easy to find, right? First book of the Bible. First place it's used. Guess who used it? Our enemy. When the serpent was talking to and deceiving Eve, in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4, the serpent said, you shall not surely die. Look at verse 5. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. Oh, you're going to get some great insight. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. No wonder God says in Proverbs 4, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It is not a very good idea to depart from them. How valuable God's word is to us. How valuable to know what God says and then keep his words his counsel, his wisdom, his perspective, his insight. Keep it locked in the middle of our heart and refuse to budge. And you know, that's why the Bible is not a hobby for you and me. It's not something we take a brief look at on Sunday. It's the words of life. And without attending to his words, and without inclining our ears unto his sayings, and not keeping them in the midst of our hearts, we will get deceived, and then we will depart from the right way of believing. That's exactly what happened to Eve. You know, the Bible says Eve was deceived, and today people continue to get deceived. Take a look at Psalm 119, if you would. You know, Psalm 119, longest psalm in the Bible, it has 176 verses. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119 contains 22 sections. And each section has 8 verses. Kind of cool the way God put this together. Each of the 22 sections is given to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then each line in that section begins with that letter. And reference to the Word of God comes up in almost every single verse of Psalm 119. If you look at Psalm 119, maybe in your Bible you might see the word Aleph right before verse 1, and then right before verse 9, Beth. So that's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then starting in verse 9, all those lines begin with, you know, the second letter. We don't see it in English, but it's in the Hebrew. So I just thought it was kind of cool because Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. References to God's word in this psalm include words like law, word, judgments, testimonies, commandments, statutes, precepts. I would encourage you, if we had more time, we would do it, but I would encourage you to read Psalm 119 this week as we're thinking about how valuable God's word is to us. And in considering life and health from God's words, it's very noteworthy that the scriptures in the Bible, God's word, are compared to food, also compared to gold, silver, and riches, also compared to light. So let's look at food for a second. Go to verse 103 here in Psalm 119. 103, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." What a mind picture. Comparing God's word to food. And physical food gives us life, physical life, right? Remember Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Good physical food nourishes us. It energizes us. It brings healing to us. Bad physical food makes you sick and weak. The same is true with spiritual food, good or bad. So God just tells us in his word that his word is like food. It isn't literally food. We don't eat our Bibles. You probably heard the phrase, "You are what you eat." Many people today are very, very concerned with what they eat physically, right? What about spiritual food? You are what you eat. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 24. Pleasant words, referring to God's words. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Wow, what a powerful verse. God's word heals, not only emotionally, mentally, but physically. Psalm 107:20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions." God's word heals. You know, God's word is often neglected because its great value to our lives is so often very underestimated. God's words believed heals. Look at Job, if you would. Back up just a bit right before Psalms. Job chapter 23. I think you're familiar with Job. He had a tough time. You want to talk about unprecedented times? Oh my goodness, Job. Job. If anybody had a right to say, you know what, that's it, I'm done. I can't take any more of this. But look at Job. In chapter 23, verse 11 says, my foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept and not declined. They didn't depart from him. Neither, verse 12, look at this, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. That was Job's attitude at that time, going through what none of us would ever even want to think about going through. You know, a number of years ago, I heard about an actor who got a part in a movie, and he spent 2 months memorizing the script forwards and backwards. And you know, he, in an interview, he had said he just wanted to so immerse himself in the role that he would just become that person. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Bible says be living epistles. We can let God's words become part of us. That's why the Bible's not an aid to devotion, you know, an aid to worship. It is the very words of life. And I mentioned earlier when Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There are other verses about food, but God's word so many times is compared to physical food, a figure of speech just to get our attention, to help us see the great importance and value of the scriptures. It helps us to see how necessary and valuable it is for our lives. Let's look at another comparison. Go to Psalm 19. A comparison of gold, silver, rubies, riches. Psalm 19. Verse 9. The fear or reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. More to be desired than much fine gold? Why? Does God just want us to be poor and not have any, you know, just know the word and be poor? Oh, look at Psalm 119. Some people teach that, you know. If you're poor, then you're closer to God because you're so humble and some of that nonsense. Psalm 119, verse 72. Look at this. The law of thy mouth, meaning God's word, Psalm 119, verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Who wouldn't want thousands of gold and silver? Look at verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments, your word, above gold, yea, above fine gold. My goodness. Why? Well, look at Proverbs 3. This is amazing in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 13. Happy. Are you happy? Happy means blessed. Happy or blessed is the man that finds wisdom. We're talking about God's wisdom in Proverbs. The man that gets understanding. In the book of Proverbs, when you see wisdom, understanding, it's God's wisdom, God's understanding. For the merchandise of it, the profit or gain from God's wisdom and understanding, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, referring to wisdom, God's wisdom, is more precious than rubies. And all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Why? This is what God's wisdom and understanding brings to you. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. My goodness. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Let them not depart from you. Remember? Do we believe this? God's word is very, very valuable. How valuable is silver, fine gold, rubies? Do we need money? Of course we do. Things of value for our lives. Of course we do. How valuable is God's word to us? Can God's word show us how to prosper? Length of days in her right hand, her left hand, riches and honor. Go to Psalm 119 again. One more comparison. Light. Psalm 119. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now your smartphone might have a little light to it when you turn it on, but that's not what it's talking about. You know, if all the power went out at night, I wouldn't grab my Bible to find my way around the house, okay? It's a comparison, a lamp and a light, not literally, but to show us the path, to light our path. In verse 130, did we look at this before? Maybe we did. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And in Proverbs 6, how valuable this wonderful word of God that we have is to us. Proverbs 6:23, the commandment is a lamp. God's word is a lamp. The law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. How helpful is God's word in giving us light, understanding, not only about spiritual matters, but in understanding and wisdom in our everyday lives. How valuable is that? The scriptures are compared to food. How necessary is good physical food? For Job, God's word was more necessary than his physical food. Physical food gives us physical life and healing. God's words, as we read in Proverbs, they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Scriptures are also compared to riches. How valuable is silver, much fine gold, rubies? God's word shows us how to prosper. The scriptures are also compared to light, or a lamp to guide our paths. How helpful is light in our everyday lives? The word of God illuminates our lives. It gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, the guidance that we need. God's word is very necessary, like food. God's word is very valuable, like gold and silver. God's word is very helpful in lighting, illuminating, giving understanding in our everyday lives. So let's close where we started in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How valuable God's word truly is. Again, I would encourage you this week to read Psalm 119. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love. And Father, we thank you for having your words written, that we could know you, that we could know your great plan of salvation and redemption, and that, Father, your words are such that they are so helpful, so necessary and so valuable for our lives. To have your insight. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word. Thank you for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we could be saved and have eternal life. And until that great day when you send him back, thank you that we have your word and we have your spirit. We have great hope, but we're not helpless people. Thank you for your great love for each and every one of us. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, thanks again for being here this morning on this phone-in fellowship. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog today, and we'll be back here again next Sunday, unless, of course, God sends his Son. Until either happens, take some time to read Psalm 119 this week. Keep praying much for our country, keep loving people, and keep looking for open doors to share the good news with anyone who wants to listen. Have a blessed week. I love you. God bless you.